Today's daf is daf mem hey amud aleph, and we're going to begin at the beginning of the daf. Yesterday we had learned that Rav Yehuda and Rav agreeing with Rav Yehuda has a broader definition of muksa, and he considers more items muksa than Rav Shimon. We identified a Mishnah Masechta Kelim. We're actually going to speak about that Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav again, that holds like Rav Shimon, a more limited view of muksa. But now the Gemara is going to say, Hach Nami Mistabra, I will prove to you the Rav Rav Yehuda Sfirlei. The Rav agrees with Rav Yehuda with this broader definition of muksa. Dama Rav. Rav says, Menichen ner agabedekel b'Shabbos, vein menichen ner agabedekel b'Yontif. The halacha is that a tree is muksa on Shabbos and Yontif. It's more than muksa. Eim shtamshim b'mechubur. The Gemara Masechta Tabei says you're not allowed to use a tree. So Rav says on Erev Shabbos you could leave a lamp on a tree. Why? Because what are we concerned that you're going to go up the tree to get the lamp? You don't have to worry about it because you're not going to use a lamp. A lamp is muksa. However, on Yontif, where lamp is not muksur, I will not let you put a lamp on the tree, says Rav, because you may go up the tree to get the lamp. Obviously, Rav holds of muksur, because like Rabbi Yehuda, because we held like Rabbi Shimon, we said that Rabbi Shimon holds that a lamp is also not muksur once the fire goes out. So it must be that Rav, who allows you to put a lamp on a tree, agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he allows it on Shabbos, and in Yontif, where Rabbi Yehuda also allows you to move a lamp, will not let you put the lamp on the tree. Again, Menich Ner Agabedekel B'Shabbos, you could put a lamp on a tree on Erev Shabbos, because since the lamp is muksa, I'm not worried you're going to go to the tree to take the lamp. Menich Ner Agabedekel B'Yontif, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif because the lamp is not muksa and you may use the tree. There's an interesting shiloh when we say that you're not allowed to use a tree on Yontif Shabbos. What does that mean? Does that mean you're not allowed to climb? You're certainly not allowed to climb up the tree. What about touching a tree? Will that be mutter asr? The Rosh says it's only actually climbing up a tree, but touching a tree will not be muksa. Not everybody agrees. And the Gemara explains. Iam b'shlam the Rav k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirlei. If we'll say the Rav agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, hainu d'shani ben Shabbos l'yontif. That's why we understand Shabbos, it's permissible to have the lamp because it's not muksa. It's muksa, so you're not going to use the tree. And yontif, it's not going to have the lamp on the tree because it's a problem. Eli amit k'Rav Shimon sfirlei. If you're going to say the Rav holds like Rav Shimon, the mali Shabbos mali yontif. Even on Shabbos, you shouldn't be allowed to hang a lamp on a tree. You're dealing with a problem that you may use the tree when you carry the lamp, which is not muksa after it goes out. From here we see, actually, if, you know, sometimes you have these lamps, these lamps that are hanging on trees. It's mutter, because we consider a lamp muksa. So there's no problem of leaving a lamp on a tree because you're not going to use it. We're not worried that you're going to use the tree because nobody's going to touch a lamp because we consider a lamp muksa. Tysus asked the question. On Yontif too. A lamp is muksa. We don't touch a lamp on Yontif. Tysus asked the question, why did the Gemara have to prove the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara said yesterday explicitly, the Rav said if you have a bed that you used for money, it's muksa. So why does the Gemara have to prove it again? So Tosfos says, you're right. For the concept that Rav agrees with Rabbi Yehuda of Muksa, I don't need this Gemara. What do I need it for? He says, I need it to teach us that Rav also subscribes to Migadis Gatzoyla Ben Hashmashas as Gatzoyla Kula Yoyma. That's what Tosfos answers. I saw two other Terutzim. One of the Terutz was, yesterday, when we had Rav's statement about the bed, the Gemara had to redefine it. The Gemara said, Eli Yitmar Hachi Yitmar. So since we had to redefine, we weren't clear exactly what Rav said. So now the Gemara says an explicit statement where we see that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. A third pshat I saw is like this, and this is halach l'maisa. We said that even if you will agree with Rav Shimon with the more limited view of muksa, but if you have a bed that is designated for money and was actually used for money, it may be that even Rav Shimon will agree is muksa. So by saying that halacha yesterday, the Rav said that the bed that was used and designated for money is muksa, we don't have a conclusive proof the Rav doesn't agree with Rav Shimon, because maybe Rav Shimon agrees in that case. This case, Rav Shimon will not hold as muksa. This is a proof that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, for Rav Rav Yehuda Svirlai, is that true? The Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. For Boimene the Rav, they asked Rav the following Shaila. Ma lo tatl shagus the Chanukah, mekam mechav Rav Shabsa. May you move the Chanukah lamp, the Chanukah menorah, because of Chavri. Chavri were the Persians. And Taisa says two pshatim. One pshat, Rashi says essentially the same. One pshat is that they did not, didn't want to let us use Chanukah candles. Another pshat that Taisa says is that whenever they had their holiday, we weren't allowed to light candles. So let's say somebody lit the menorah, but he wants to, as soon as the menorah goes out, he wants to put it away. It's a danger. Vamalhu, shapidami. So he said you can move it after it goes out. Why? Shasat chak, shani. So you see, shapidami. So you see the Rav agrees with Rav Shimon, because according to Rav Yehuda, once the menorah goes out, it's still muksa. Says the Gemara, shasat chak shani. There was a shasat chak, they were in danger, and it's different. Domalei Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi, Rav, hoch yuchasu. Is that really the halacha that you're allowed to move a menorah after it goes out? Amalehu, and Rav told him, kedayu Rav Shimon, lismechala b'shasat chak. We can rely on Rav Shimon b'shasat chak. So B'kivega, really, Stritva makes a very important point. He says, what pshat shasat chak? It was a sakana. So then we need to learn this Gemara that you're allowed to move muksa with sakana. For sakana stafashis, you're allowed to do everything. So therefore he learns that when Rashi, when the Gemara means shasat chak, doesn't mean it was mamish a sakana. It was a dangerous situation, but not life-threatening. And that's why, if not for the fact that we have Rav Shimon, we would not be allowed to move it. But given that it's shasat chak, we allow you to rely on Rav Shimon. That's how Rabbi Kivega learns. The Mashal, in the Chachma Shlomo, learns very different. He says that it was a sasak sakana mamish. It was really a time of danger. The question is, if it's a mamish a danger, what's the shaila if you're allowed to move muksa? He says, chiddush, lahalocha. He says that the only time you're allowed to do something, b'shas sakana, is if you didn't cause the problem. That means like this, if somebody gets sick on Shabbos, he didn't make himself sick. So the halocha is, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. But this person turned on the menorah, he shouldn't have lit it. So he caused the sakana. So if you cause the sakana, you don't have a heter to do any melacha on Shabbos. The only thing is, here we allow you because we have Rav Shimon. So it's a big chiddush. According to the Mashal, if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, would attempt to commit suicide, you would not be allowed to do anything for him. Because he caused his own situation. And when you cause your own situation, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos according to the Mashal. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this mashal, and he disagrees with him, and he says the halacha is that any shas sakana, whether it was came upon you or whether you made it yourself, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. But according to the way the mashal learns the Gemara, he has a good proof. Continues the Gemara. Bar minei Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following shayla: Chitin shazaron bekarka. If you took wheat and you planted it in the ground, or eggs that are under a hen. So, two things. Number one, what is the Gemara going to be discussing? The Gemara is going to discuss like this. Again, we keep on saying that Shimon has a more limited view of Muksa. But when we say Rav Shimon has a more limited view of Muksa, what does that mean? He still holds a Muksa. So now the Gemara is trying to identify, is there a situation where you have an item which is useful, you can use it theoretically in Shabbos, and Rav Shimon will still agree that it's muksa. And what's the example that the Gemara brings? The example the Gemara brings is that you took wheat and you put it into the ground. So the way the Rishonim explained it is as follows. It obviously did not take root yet. Because if it takes root, it gets deteriorated and it's useless. Furthermore, it's in a situation where there's no earth covering this wheat. Because the Ritva says, because if there's earth covering the wheat, you would have two problems. You have a problem of chayrish, a plowing when you move earth, and also earth, everybody agrees, is muksa. So you have an exposed wheat that you planted that's still edible. Will Rav Shimon hold that this item is muksa or not? Chitin shezar b'kaka, obeyim shetachtan agoil. Same thing, you put an egg under a hen to incubate, but it's still edible. Is it muksa or not? Ki lesle Rav Shimon muksa. When does Rav Shimon say that does not agree that something's muksa? Hechad alay dach b'yadayim, where he did not actively go and make it inaccessible. However, hechad dach b'yadayim, in a case like ours, where he physically made it inaccessible, it's like muksa. Maybe he will agree that's muksa. Aydilma, lashna. Or maybe there's no difference. So like the Rishonim explained, yesterday we said that Rav Shimon agrees that if you have a whole bowl of oil, it's muksa. Why did Rav Shimon say it's muksa? Because you don't intend to use it at all. Why is this different than a bowl of oil? The answer is very simple. When somebody has a bowl of oil that he lit a candle in it on Erev Shabbos, and he doesn't expect that that bowl will be accessible to him at all on Shabbos, so he completely takes it out of his mind. Here, he taka did a maisa of putting the chitim in the ground, but he knows that the chitim are still accessible to him. He taka put the egg under the hen, but he knows the egg is still accessible. Is the act enough to make him muksa, or is the fact that he knows in the back of his mind that he could use it prevented from Rav Shimon from becoming muksa? So he said, Amalei, ein muksa Rav Shimon. The only time Rav Shimon holds something is muksa, el b'shemen shebener, oil and a candle, b'shah shu doylek, while the candle is on. Why? Hoyel v'huksalim et svasai. This is the way the Tosfos Yeshanim learns. V'huksali suroi. You have two things working here. Number one, that it's huksalim et svasai. The candle is the Shabbos candle. That's the mitzvah. And also, as we explained yesterday, a candle is a kli shemalach del iser. So since you have two factors working here, then and only then will Rav Shimon hold its muksa. In the absence of both of these factors, it won't be muksa. So we go to the case of chitim, or the case of bayim, you don't have both factors, it's not huktzul mitzvasai, and therefore will not be muksa. Ask the Gemara. So the way we're learning now, that according to Rav Shimon, for something to be muksa, you have to have two factors. Ask the Gemara, v'lesle huktzul mitzvasai. Does Rav Shimon not subscribe that if you only have huksul mitzvasai, it's going to already be muksa? V'tanya. We learned the Braisa. We actually learned the Braisa Daf Chapez. It's a Gemara Masech the Sukkah. Sichecha kilchasai. If you made your sukkah properly, vitra, and you decorated it b'kromim u'b'sadina mitzuyarim with different type of tapestries, v'talabon you hung up on it a goizim, a fraskim, a goizim is nuts, a fraskim is peaches, shkedim is almonds, ramonim is pomegranates, a fechili shal novim, clusters of grapes, vitra shal shmolim, things of wheat, yenois, wine, shmonim, oil, basaltis, and flour, osel estapik mehen, you're not allowed to use anything from the sukkah, ad matziyont of achrein, until after Shmini Atzeres. V'mhisna leim, haklefi tonoim. But if you make tonight, any boidel mehen, if you say explicitly that you want to use these things, you may. So let's mention a few things. So Rashi says, what's the proof? So from here we see that Rav Shimon holds that if something is just huktzel mitzvasai, it's ready muksa. Why? Because in Chol HaMoed, it's not muksa machmas iser. There's no iser to demolish something on Chol HaMoed. So the only thing that makes a muksa on Chol HaMoed is the fact that it's huktzel mitzvasai. And yet Rav Shimon calls it muksa. So we see that Rav Shimon says you don't have to have both. Just huktzel mitzvasai is muksa. So Kiva Ega asks on Rashi a wonderful question. Why do you have to bring a raya from Chol HaMoed that it's only huktzel mitzvasai? I could bring a raya from Yontif itself. The nois sukkah, there's no iser of soiser, there's no iser of demolishing on the nois sukkah. So the fact that the nois sukkah are muksa on Yontif is right. They only have one factor working, creating that they should be muksa, huktzel mitzvasai, and yet Rav Shimon will hold its muksa. Why did Rashi have to bring a raya from Chol HaMoed? Ataka, the Ritva says, the raya is not from Chol HaMoed, the raya is from Yontif. And with that, he's able to answer two questions that the Sfasemis asks. The Sfasemis asks, we're trying to compare Sukkot to Shabbos. You can't compare Sukkot to Shabbos. Why? Sukkot, number one, is a Doraisa. Shabbos Shabbos candle is only the Rabbanan. Einik Shabbos, Kovik Shabbos, Shalom Bayis, but it's only the Rabbanan. Furthermore, a sukkah is expressly set aside that you know it's going to be a sukkah. You're not going to do anything else with it. Shabbos candles, you know that they're going to go out. So as the Gemara comparing them. So that's why he said, but if you're going to compare it to the sukkah on Yontif, that works better. So other Rishonim explain Rashi, that Rashi really meant the nice sukkah on Yontif. The nice sukkah, he doesn't mean only Chol Hamoed, but on Yontif, the nice sukkah become part of the wall. So just like there's an issa to demolish the wall, there's an issa on the nice sukkah. So that's why Rashi had to talk about Chol Hamoed. I wanted to think of a different teretz, which is Negei L'Aloch L'Maisa. The Chesam Sofer has a tshuva. Not everybody agrees with this Chesam Sofer. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. What's the halacha if I have... A lot of people hang esroigim in their sukkah for noy sukkah. What happens if I hung up a kosher? I had a lot of esroigim. So I hung up a kosher esrig as noy sukkah. And then you come to me on the first day of Yontif and you say, you know, I don't have an esrig. Am I allowed to take off that esrig and give it to you? So Chesam Sofer says I'm allowed to. That's why Rashi didn't talk about Yontif, the noy sukkah on Yontif. Because the noy sukkah on Yontif, I would be allowed to take down under certain circumstances. When I have an esrig, and when I can give you an esrig. That's why Rashi brought a raya from Chol Hamoed, where there is no problem of demolishing the sukkah, and so it's only hooked to the mitzvah, sorry. And there we're talking about the actual sukkah, not the nice sukkah. That's why Rashi preferred that case. So Rashi is a proof to the Chesam Sofer. I don't want anybody to think that everybody agrees with the Chesam Sofer. There's a Shivat Tzion. There's a Shalas Tshuvas Shivat Tzion. The Shivat Tzion was the son of the Noida Yehuda. Somebody asked him the following shaila. He was in the estrog business. And he had leftover esrogim. He didn't sell all of his stock. So after sukkahs, you can't do much with esrogim. So he decided he'll hang up the esrogim in his sukkah as a decoration. And then on the first day of Yontif, somebody came to him and said, you know, I didn't get an esrog, could you give me one? So he said, of course, I'd rather sell it than give it to you, than just hang it in my sukkah. So this person who asked the Shivat Tzion, the Shaila says it should maybe not be muksa, because the person didn't intend to designate it to leave it there. He only meant because he had nothing else to do with it. But the Shivat Tzion disagrees, and the Shivat Tzion says you can't take down that esrog to use for the Dalaminim. So again, from here we see that Rav Shimon subscribes to something being muksa, even if it's only huksla mitzvasai. Has the Gemara remind Rav Shimon he? Who tells you this price of Rav Shimon? So I'll prove it to you. The Tanya of Chiba Yosef Kamed Rav Yoichnan ain't noitlin eitzim in a sukkah biyontif. We're not allowed to take wood from actual sukkah on Pesach and Shavuos. We're not talking about a sukkah on Sukkis, because it was designated to be part of the sukkah, and if you take it off, nobody intends to use it, because taking it off would involve destroying the sukkah. Elman asamachla. From what may you take wood? From wood that's not part of the actual sukkah. Rav Shimon matter. Rav Shimon tells you that you can't take it off. So where Rav Shimon explained, it's not when the sukkah is still standing, because taking wood from a sukkah is actually muksa machmas issa, because nobody expects to use that wood. It's part of the sukkah. So Rav Shimon explained we're dealing here with a sukkah that was very shaky before Yontif, and this person expected that the sukkah will not last the whole Yontif of Pesach or Shavuos, and therefore he ready Rav Shimon with his sheet that says if you intend and you know that something's going to happen, it doesn't become muksa. That's why Rav Shimon says that on Yontif, if the sukkah taka falls, you could take the sukkah. You weren't matzadas from it. However, b'shavin, even though Rav Shimon on Pesach and Shavuot says that the sukkah that fell, at least if you saw that it's going to fall, you're allowed to use the wood from it. On Sukkos Achag, on Shavuot, she is surah, that it's asur. So you see that Rav Shimon subscribes to muksa machmas issur. And the Gemara explains, again, if you make a condition, hakulafitanoi. So again, the Mefarshim talk, what does the condition mean? Some Rishonim say that you can't make a tanai on the actual sukkah. You can only make a tanai on the noy sukkah. That means, let's say you hung up something for noy sukkah, because you want your sukkah to be very pretty, but you don't want it to remain there. A common example is, let's say you're worried it's going to rain. So you want to be able to take down the noy sukkah, that you don't want it to get ruined if it rains. You can make the tanai. It's interesting. Tosfos yesterday points out that by sukkah you can make a tanai, by neroi Shabbos you can't make a tanai. Why is sukkah different than Shabbos? So the answer is, Both of them, you should be able to.
Be
what?
You're not designating night for the purpose of night sukkah.
Oh, it's night sukkah. It is. It's mitzias that it's night sukkah, because the difference is like this: night sukkah or a sukkah, you have a sukkah standing from before sukkah, sukkahs, and then banish mushes. You decide I don't want this to fall into the category muksa. How does it work with candles? Erev Shabbos Banish Moshes, you go and you're specifically lighting it. If you're lighting it, you obviously don't want it to be, you want it to be muksa, otherwise why are you going to bother to do it? But you can make it tonight. So here you see, Derev Shimon holds a muksa machmas mitzvah. So we go back to where we started. We seem to have learned, the Gemara said, that the only time Rav Shimon holds a muksa is if you have two characteristics. Huksa machmas mitzvah and muksa machmas isser. Here we see that Rav Shimon just requires one characteristic of muksa machmas mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, k'ein shemen shevener kamrin. You're right. He doesn't need to have both. It's only similar. Hoyel the huksa mitzvah. Say, once something is huksa mitzvah, huksa misuroi, it becomes muksa according to Rav Shimon. One question, Tosfos asks, now that we're explaining that this b'raisa goes according to Rav Shimon, and that the sukkah is muksa because it's hooked from mitzvah side, why is a sukkah muksa on Shmini Atzeres? Because since on Hashanah Rabbah, the seventh day of sukkahs, Dein HaShmoshes, you would have to eat in the sukkah, because it's still maybe Shana Rabbah. So you say, Migadis Katzoy Leben HaShmoshes, is Katzoy LeKula Yoyma, and it's also muksa on Shmini Atzeres when they don't eat in the sukkah. But we've been learning for 2 days that Rav Shimon doesn't subscribe to Migdas Katzoy. So how would we work that line into Rav Shimon? So Taisa says, taka that line that Rav Shimon would say that even on Shmini, that this Brisa says that even on Shmini Atzeres the sukkah is muksa, Rav Shimon certainly won't agree to that. He can't say that that's muksa on the eighth day. Et manami, Amar Rav Chibar, Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Mixel Rav Shimon. There's nothing considered muksa according to Rav Shimon. El Kain Shemen Shvener V'Shah Shudoylet, like oil in the candle while it's burning. Hoyav Huxel Mitzvasoi Huxel Yisuroi Huxel Mitzvah is enough to make a muksa. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shimon. Now we just finished discussing something that you can use on Yontif or on Shabbos. When does Rav Shimon hold its muksa? When does it not hold its muksa? Now we're going to talk about something which really you can't use. What is the classical example of muksa that you can't use? Groigris etzmukim. Groigris etzmukim, what did I mean? Groigris etzmukim means that you have grapes or you have figs that you want to dry. And the way all the mefarshim explained the Gemara is they used to take those fruits, put them on the roof, so you have dachi b'yadayim, you actually took them away from yourself and put them on the roof. And also, while they're on the roof, they're not edible until they completely dry out. In this in-between state between being fresh and dried, they're not edible. Now the Gemara asks, says the Gemara first, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Ein Muksa L'Rav Shimon, Ela Groigris B'Tzmukim Milvad, that have these cool characteristics that we just described. Umidach Rinaloi, says the Gemara, anything else not, but Tanya, Hoya Oichel B'Tein of a Hoyser. Some is immediately eating dates, and he left over, the hell and lagag lasman groigris. He takes them up to the roof to dry. But novim, he's eating grapes. For hoysen, he's left over. The hell and lagag lasman simukim. And he takes them up to the roof to make raisins. Lo yoichel achi yasmin. You can't eat them until you expressly designate them that they should be your food. Continues the braisa. The chenat to oimer, simile, but farskin is peaches. The chavushim is quince. Or shal kamina peris, all other fruits. Now let's identify this price. Mani, who is the town of this price? Elaim Rabbi Yehuda. If you're going to tell me it's Rabbi Yehuda, it makes no sense. Or ma hecha de loy dach bidayim. We've been learning Rabbi Yehuda that says that even if you didn't physically set something aside, what's the example Taisa gives? An oitzer. Let's say you have something in your warehouse. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's muksa. So ma hecha de loy dach bidayim. Islay muksa, he considers it muksa. Heich, in this case, with the dachi v'yadayim, you physically set it aside, like Koshkein. So this brisa can't be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Elalav, who must be the town of this brisa? Rabbi Shimon he. And we see according to Rabbi Shimon that you don't have, it's not limited to groigris or tzmukim. Even fruits that may be somewhat edible during this drying state will already be muksa because you dachi v'yadayim, you set it aside. Says the Gemara Loi. Loyal on Rabbi Yehuda. I'll tell you the Brice is going to Rabbi Yehuda. We asked according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's poshet, that it's muksa, and it's the Gemara of Oichlis Rechalei. The chiddush is that since you were in the middle of eating it, salka dat chamina, kivin the ochel vazel. Since the person, when he put him on the roof, was in the middle of eating them, so he obviously considers them a oichel, loyli bayaz money, it shouldn't require a special designation to be allowed to eat them. And you should be allowed to take them if you want on Shabbos. Kamash Malan, that's why Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that no. Kim the Helen Lagag, once you take them up the roof, Asuch Asladat Menayu, you consider that you're not thinking about them. They're not in the category of an Oichel, and they're Muksa unless you do an explicit Hazmona. The Kubi Reb Shimon will agree, will not hold that they're Muksa, and he'll limit Muksa to Groger Satsmukim. Continues the Gemara. Boy Menei Reb Shimba Rebbe Mereb. Rebbe. So Rav Shimon, Rebbe's son, asked from Rebbe, Pitzulei Truma, tomorrow. They had these tamarim, these dreitz, that never got ripe on the tree. The way they got ripe was by putting them into a wicker basket. And in the wicker basket, they got ripe. Pitzulei Truma, Rav Shimon Mahu. Are they considered muks or not before they get ripe? So he said, Amalei, Ein muks Rav Shimon, Elegrog Vitzukim Bilbad. Any other food item that don't have all these serious characteristics that we described before, that you have dachi b'yadayim and non-edible, in the absence of both of those characteristics, Rav Shimon will not hold a muksa. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe less than muksa. So the way the Ramban explains the Gemara is like this. What do we have here? We have here Rebbe trying to understand Rav Shimon's shita. So if Rebbe's trying to understand Rav Shimon's shita, it must be that he agrees with Rav Shimon. But Tanan, Ein Mashkin Vashashtan Smidbarius, on Yontif, they used to give animals a lot of water to drink before they slaughtered them. So, why? First of all, why? So Rashi says, because it's easier to skin the animal if it's drank a lot of water before it was slaughtered. The Shach in Yerudei says a different reason. He says, animals that drink a lot don't have circus. Circus are lesions on the lung that could bring into question the kashrus of the animal. By giving it a lot to drink, you get the circus to fall off. Now, on Yontif, the halacha is that you're allowed to shecht an animal, you're allowed to slaughter an animal, because it's oichel nefesh, you're shechting it in order to eat. The halacha is, the Mishnah Masechta Bei says, Ein mashkim shechtin mesibarius. You're not allowed to shecht or give to drink an animal that's midbarius. Midbarius means an animal that's out in the field. Animals that are domesticated, bises is loshim bias in your house, that you're allowed to. V'tanya, the Brisa Masech Tabei explains, Eilem Mibarius, what I consider Mibarius, Kol Shiyotz of Pesach, any animal that goes out from the city on Pesach, Nechnas Bravi, and only comes back to the city in Cheshvan when it starts to rain. Beisois, what are animals that are considered part of the in the city, any animal that goes out of the city by day, and it comes back home every night. Rabbi Yoiman, no. Even an animal that's out for a couple of months does not lose the status of Bisis. What is Bisis? For Elohim and Boreas, Kol Shiroyus Be'efer, any animal that completely raises outside the field, outside the city, the ainan nechnasus liyushiv, don't come into the city, never. V'loibi maisach chama, not in the summer, v'loibi maisach shama, not in the winter. Now, this whole conversation is obviously going according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not muksa. Rabbi Shimon says, as long as you have the animal in your hands, and you could shecht it, it's not muksa. So obviously, who's the tanner that says that animals could be muksa? It must be Rabbi Yehuda. And we see Rabbi saying opinion in that shita. So how could you tell me that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon from this Mishnah that Rabbi's saying an opinion in? Obviously, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara. Vibayisema, hani namiki gregs with smukim damya. These animals, even Rabbi Shimon will agree, are muksa. Why? He says because you have two reasons that you set them aside. One is dachinu b'yadayim, you sent the animals out of town. Number two, bringing these animals back into town is a tercha, it's a bother. Now, again, the way we've been explaining the Gemara, this works perfect. Rav Shimon never said that he doesn't agree with the concept of muksa. He just says that for something to be muksa, a taka has to be muksa, it has to be taka pushed away. Just because you're showing that you're not that interested in something doesn't make it muksa. Here, you have a lot of reason to say that the person pushed it away. Number one, he actually sent it out of town. Number two, it's a bother to bring it back into town. That's why even Rav Shimon will agree it's muksa. So it's very geschmack. We said that this Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Yehuda. No! The Mishnah could go according to Rav Shimon. And therefore, Rebbe, who's saying an opinion in Rav Shimon, in that Mishnah, could still agree with Rav Shimon. That's one teretz. Vibay Seima, a different teretz. When the Gemara said before that they wanted, the Rebbe said an opinion regarding the Patsile tomorrow, what Rav Shimon holds, is a muksa or not? Ludvar of Rav Shimon Kamalei. He was explaining Rav Shimon's opinion, however, Valele Svirle, he doesn't agree with Rav Shimon. And a third teretz is, Vibar Sam Ludvarim Drabonim Kamalei. Rav Shimon is having a conversation with Drabonim. And he says to them like this, Ludadi Lesli Muksa Klal. I hold that these animals are in Abichlal Nam Muksa. Why? Because I hold like Rav Shimon, and this teretz holds that Rav Shimon holds that animals are Nam Muksa. However, Ludetchu, you the Rabbanan, who hold like Rav Yehuda, and it is Muksa, now, Oidle Mias, how, at least agree with me, the Heich the Yoitz for Pesach, we have an animal that goes at Pesach time, Menechnos Bereviah, and comes back in Machezvin, the Baisis Nenu, and at least won't be Muksa even according to Rav Yehuda, and the Rabbanan Amalei, and Rabbanan say no. Number one, we hold like Rav Yehuda, and number two, even an animal that goes out even for only part of the year, Midbarius Nenu are considered Midbarius and a Muksa. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Amru Halach Rav Shimon. The Rabbi Chana says, the Rabbi Yochanan held that Halach is like Rav Shimon. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, does Rabbi Yochanan hold that, like Rav Shimon, Vaboy Minay Hu Saba Kruya? There was a Saba from Kruya, the name of a city, Vamalei Suruya is a different city. Rabbi Yochanan, Kina Shatana Goylus, Kina Shatana Goylus, is a portable chicken coop. Mal Tatuli b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to move it on Shabbos? Amalei. Now what is Amalei? Klum also elatana goylem. What is a chicken coop made for? For chickens. Now, so why is it osur? Because as we know, and we'll talk about it in a moment soon, that a bal chai is muksa. So it becomes a muksa machmas isser. Now, who's the man, the Omer, that holds Muks Machmas Isser? Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon. So we see that he holds of Muks Machmas Isser. So he says, no. Hachem Ma'iskin in this by Efroich Mes. It's talking over here that there's a dead chicken. We even, Rabbi Shimon will hold that a dead chicken is Muksa, and it becomes a Bosses Ladover Osir, which even Rabbi Shimon agrees is Osir. So two very important points. Yesterday we pointed out that a Bosses Ladover Osir is only by Meniach, when you specifically did it, not by Shecheach. Where's the Meniach here? You didn't put a dead chicken there. Okay. So the Rishonim explained, since it's very normal for chickens to die, when you have a big chicken coop, the chicken will die, so the dead chicken is considered Meniach. You knew it's going to happen. So it's a Bosses Ladover Osir. So Taisus asked, why do I have to say that it's a dead chicken? It could be a live chicken. A live chicken is also muksa. So first Taisus wants to say that live chickens, one sheet of Taisus says, I could give you a case where a live chicken is not muksa. If you have the chicken as a plaything, l'shatik by a satinik, you use it for your child to be quiet. So it won't be muksa. Then Taisus says that he doesn't agree, and he says that every live thing is muksa. So why didn't the Gemara bring a case of a dead chicken? You could have brought a case of a live chicken. So Taisus Yishanim explained, because if it was a live chicken, I could chew it off. I could get it off, so it wouldn't be a Bosses Ladover Osir. A dead chicken, I can't get off, because I can't move it, so it becomes a Bosses Ladover Osir. So Taisus is saying that a live animal is always muksa. And Rav Moshe Paskins, based on this Taisus, that you can never move an aquarium, for example, on Shabbos, Yontif, because the aquarium has live fish, and a live fish is muksa. The Tzais HaShulchan disagrees. He says, Taisus is talking about a chicken or fish, it doesn't make a difference, that's primarily used as food. And the halacha is that a live thing is muksa. But if you have a fish or a bird, that the when we have a pet in our house, we don't have it for food, it's only there as a pet, it's only there as something to play with, that won't be muksa, and the Tzayis HaShulchan holds, you're allowed to move an aquarium with live fish on Shabbos, because the or bird's nest that has the parakeet that's just a pet on Shabbos.
And the
same thing would be a dog if it's only as a pet. The Tzayis HaShulchan wants to say that Tzayis is only talking about an animal that's not explicitly only a pet. It's a very big kula, but the Shmir Shabbos Kachase brings down from Shlem Zalman, he's not quite certain. Rav Moshe is very machmer. He says you can't move anything that has a live thing on it, even if it's a pet. Ask the Gemara. Hanich l'mabar meimer mishmei derava dama moida hayar b'shimen balachayim shimei suda. B'shimen agrees that dead animals shasurim. So this becomes a bustle davar also to the dead animal. El mabarei derav yoysa mishmei derava dama cholak b'shimen afil b'balachayim shimei su shemitarim. The b'shimen even considers dead animals not muksa. So the fact that you have a dead animal in the chicken coop doesn't make it a bustle of davar asr, because the dead animal is not muksa. So we're back to where we started. Michael Meimer, why is this chicken coop muksa? And you're saying that this price is even going according to Reb Shimon? Says the Gemara, Hachamai skin in this bay beya, that it has an egg. And bay is noilid, because we explained that nolda b'shabes v'yontif. Vomer Rav Nachman, man isle muksa isle noilid. If you hold it, if you have the broad definition of muksa, you'll also have the broad. You'll agree with noilid. The lesley muksa, lesley noilid. And Rav Shimon, we know lesley muksa. So what are you telling me that the egg is muksa because it's noilid? Rav Shimon doesn't agree with noilid. And the Mefarshim ask, we learned before in this Gemara, that in this Masechta, that Rav Shimon holds that a chair that was broken on Shabbos, you're allowed to move the pieces. Why? Because he doesn't hold noilid. So how could you have a havamina that Rav Shimon subscribes to noilid? So they want to say there's two types of noilid. When you have a broken chair, so the chair existed in the world. It only wasn't, before it was in the form of a whole chair, now it's in the form of a broken chair. There, Rav Shimon doesn't hold of noilid. But an egg that gets hatched on Yontif, on Shabbos, wasn't in the world at all. So maybe Rav Shimon would agree to that muksa. Says the Gemara, no, Rav Shimon doesn't agree to noilid at all. So I'm back to how I started. If he doesn't hold it, a Baal Chai is muksa. And he doesn't hold of noilid, how did this become a bustus ladavar also? Says the Gemara, this be beits efroich. You had an egg that was born with a chick in it. So now let's figure it out. It's not edible to a person on Shabbos because it's a chicken. You can't shuck the chicken on Shabbos. And it's not edible to an animal because he doesn't know how to crack the shell. So that's why Rav Shimon will agree that this beitz is efroich is muktza, and the chicken coop is a bustus l'davar asr. Kras Rav Yitzchak Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan halach k'Rav Yehuda. He says that Rav Yochanan held the halach k'Rav Yehuda. Rav Yishuv ben Levi Amar halach k'Rav Shimon that the halach k'Rav Shimon. Amar Rav Yosef hanin the Amar Rabba b'Chana Amar Rav Yochanan Amru they said halach k'Rav Shimon. Amar Rav Yosef hanin the Amar Rabba b'Chana Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Allah Krib Shimon. Amru, they said, Leila Sfirle, because he holds that Rabbi Yochanan held that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Amr Abayi le Rabbi Yosef. So Abayi said to Rabbi Yosef, At loy tizbur de Rabbi Yochanan Krib Yehuda, you don't agree that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Her Rab Abba Rabbi Yosef, Ikle Bey Rab Abba, the men Chaifa. Rab Abba Rab Asi came to the home of Abba in Chaifa. The Nofel Menarta al Glima de Rabbi Yosef. And the menorah, the candelabra, fell on Rav Abba's, on Rav Asi's coat, v'lod tiltalei, and he didn't move it. My tama, why didn't he move it? La mishum talmid de Rabbi Yochanan hava. It must have been because he held like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda sfirlei, and Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the islay mitzvah, that he holds that a menorah, even when it's not lit, as we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, is muksah. So here we have a clear proof that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda, because his Talmud Rav Asi held of Muksa. Amalei, Menarta Kamrit, you're asking me a question from a story of a Menaira. Menarta Shani, a Menaira is different. Why? Domer of Achabar Chanina, Amar of Asi, Hirish Lokish Betzidin, of Shlekish Paskin and Sidin, Menorah, and it tells Piyoda Achas, a menorah that's so portable that you can move it in one hand. Mutl tatl b'Shabbos. Mutl tatl, you can move it on Shabbos. V'shtei yodov, but if it's so heavy that you need two hands to carry it, osl tatl. You're not allowed to move it. Memela, you can't bring a raya, you can't bring a proof from menorah, because menorah is very unique, it has its own reasoning. But that's no proof to muksa. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar and Rabbi Yochanan Taka will hold, Elno Einlon Bener, we will pass like Ner, that a candelabra or a lamp that goes out, we'll pass like Rabbi Shimon, that it's not muksa. Av menorah, menorah has a snudin, bain, nitl b'yada achas, bain nitl b'shtei yadim, even if you can move it with one hand, also tatla for special reason. So where we're up to right now is, it could very well be that Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to Rabbi Shimon, the lesle muksa, he has this limited version of muksa, and the story why they wasn't able to move the menorah that fell on Rav Asi's coat is because menorah has its own special rules, which we'll discuss tomorrow why menorah is different.